focus for this morning from 1 Samuel and chapter 3. So it was in the days when he did apprenticeships, and Samuel, as a young lad, is doing an apprenticeship in service in the temple. And then something unusual happens, and Rob is going to come and read it to us.
So it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the Ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
PowerPoint up on the screen for us. What a forlorn opening to our reading. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was bad, lean times. And we might ask why. Why was it a bad time? Had God just decided to go quiet on them and say, "Right, I'm not going to direct you anymore. I'm not going to give you any help. That's it. I'm out of it for now. See you in a few years." Well, it was far more difficult than that, what was going on, because we just had the book of Judges before. And the book of Judges will give an indication as to why the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. Book of Judges is the book that's easy to pounce upon when you want to get angry about violence in the Bible. Why is the Bible so full of violence? Why has it got so many gory scenes? Or if you like gory scenes, oh, is that the book where that wonderful thing where that person's stabbed in his fat belly and his hand disappears with the knife into his belly? I mean, it's disgusting stuff, really. Except if you like horror. What had happened was in the book of Judges is that God's people, people of Israel, the Hebrews, had, well, they didn't think they'd lost their way, but they had lost their way. Each leader that they had, that they didn't have a king or anything like that, but leaders would rise up and do their work and go away again. And they were called judges, hence the name of the book of Judges, the different experiences they had. And as you go through the book of Judges, it gets worse and worse. The gore level goes up so that certain sections of it might even need someone to come in and say, readers might be offended by some of these scenes. Beware as you read it. They're quite tough to read, but it gets worse and worse and worse. And the conclusion of the book of Judges is a refrain that goes the whole way through, and it says, all the people did what was right in their own eyes. Sounds all right, doesn't it? It's up to you what you believe. It's up to you what you do. It's up to you. Make your own mind up. There's no moral absolutes, they would say. Just do what's right to you. You know best, don't you? Don't you? It does sound rather familiar, doesn't it? But that's the way we're encouraged to think through our ethics. The only solution seems to be when you lose all your moorings, as the people here had lost all their moorings with God, that, well, God says to us, possibly using the words of the old song, you can go your own way. Do it. Go your own way. See what happens. That might be the only way you will turn back to God and you will learn. And as our ethics, the way we make moral decisions, is based nowadays an awful lot on the consequences of our moral decisions, consequentialist ethics, for those who want more precise terms, by the time you find out whether your decision was good or bad, it might be too late. It might take a generation or two to come out the other end. And you were doing what was right in your own eyes. We were doing what was right in our own eyes. We might even vote about it. Because if you vote about it, then everyone surely will come collectively to something which is right in our own eyes, surely going to be right. Oh dear, too late. It's already happened. Look out for that, as we're encouraged to make moral decisions. And those who have a religious view are immediately barred. Don't want to hear. It's your religion. It's your faith. We don't want to hear faith. We want to hear what's right in our own eyes. We want to think through it for ourselves. But as soon as you've got a religious view, it's deleted. Well, that's the tough situation that people of Israel are in. Hear this. The Lord was not far off. And it was the boy Samuel, who would hear. Before he could hear anything from God, even though God could have shouted things at him, God could have said, here it is, write it down, take it to your mentor, Eli. He'll write it out. He'll distribute it. No, before he could get anywhere, Samuel had to learn this. You say to the Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Well, as a church, we are going to go through a process of seeking what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we could do, as a church, the way ahead, we could do what is right in our own sight. Easy enough. Or we could go through this difficult process, this harder process of preparing our hearts and get to the place where we could say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Although I've got really good ideas and I've got things that I'd love, and there's so much I have to say. Well, if you think of it logically, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? Nah. Oh, I've got to lay all aside. Speak. For your servant is listening. Lay aside the tendency to do what is right in your own eyes. Declare your obedience to God, not to the church, not to what other people are saying, not to even to what other Christian leaders are saying, because they can be wrong as well. Declare your obedience to the Lord and to the ways of Jesus. Be prepared that anything that comes out the other end might well still have quite a bit of a mix of stuff from ourselves, but it'll have things that God wants for us. A little bit of background for those who that weren't here a couple of weeks ago, or if you're visiting the church today, we looked a couple of weeks ago what our purposes of the church were, and we're going to examine the church in the light of what we're meant to do and what we're meant to be like as a church. We looked at a passage in Acts and chapter 2, and how it informed us as to what a church ought to be about. What's this church? What does this church do? Well, we have a fellowship, relationships with one another, and we help one another to belong. It's what we're meant to do. We're meant to have instruction in discipleship. We're meant to grow in our understanding of the Christian faith, not just in our minds, but in our practice. And we do that by, as a church, helping each other. There are people who can be a real help. We can be a help to one another as we show how to live out the Christian life. We have a renewal in our worship. So we focus especially on our Sunday, but other times as well, we gather and we worship the Lord. It's what we do. No one else will do it. The Lord is worthy. We worship and we engage with the world, with what we do and with what we say. So that's what we do. That's our purposes. And over the coming, over the coming time, maybe 6 months, maybe a year if it takes that long, the whole church, all who are regular attending the church and who are members of the church, will be encouraged, that you be encouraged to take part in this whole process, our Seek in the Spirit initiative. It's a process of discernment, of sifting what's the stuff from us, what's right in our own eyes, from the stuff which is the Lord speaking, as we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So, you will be encouraged from the end of the service onwards, right through to Christmas, that you've all had a chance to sign up, to think which of those four areas you would like to focus on. Just one. Don't all plump for fellowship, because you think that sounds nice and cozy. Have a good mix of people who are thinking and praying about one of those aspects of the church life, of what we're meant to do. Even if we're doing a lousy job, especially if we're doing a lousy job, pray through what we're meant to be doing, how God is leading us. You will find on the table over there, next to the puzzles, a grid with four sections on it. Just put your name on whichever one you would like to do. If you think you might forget, well, the leadership team of the church are going to come round and they're going to badger you. Be prepared for badgering. They're being very nice. They're trying to give you the opportunity to sign up, but they will encourage you to put your name down on one of the areas. We'll see if we can cover everyone by Christmas, before the new year, we unwrap the four areas we would like you to think through. Based on the teaching of Revelation, chapters 1 to 3, where the Spirit speaks to the church. And they do hear the Lord speaking. And for some of those churches, it would have been a great encouragement. For other of those churches, their knees will be shaken in fear for what God was saying to them. But God is out for their good, because he's not far off. And he wants them to live the life to the full. So, our four questions. Oh, go on, put them all together. Oh, yes, it's, yeah, there we are. That projector is much better, isn't it? The words aren't dancing around. Remember, little white blobs flickering around there all the time. So that is good. That was a really good investment by the council, not us. That's brilliant. Anyway, let's have the four questions. Well, the four areas. First of all, the Lord says, "I know your deeds." I'm not going to argue about it. I just know. I know what's happening. And so, in the area that you've chosen, in God's eyes, what's going well in this church? What would the Lord encourage? And what does the Spirit commend? What is the Holy Spirit saying? Well done, that's really good. That's pleasing to me. That is on track. Your second question, my second area. And this is what the Spirit says to some of the churches. "I have this against you." That's good. "But I have this against you." Rather like your appraisals you get, where, right, here's where you're doing well. Here it comes. Here you're doing well. But, or those of you who are following strictly or strictly come baking or all the other things that they do. There's always the idea is you say really nice things and then, the bad one comes along. It's sort of like that, except this is God speaking to us, building us up, but guiding us so that we see what the holes are. Remember, it's ever so easy to slip into each person. They're wise in their own sight, as Proverbs emphasizes for us. What's the Lord saying? So, what might the Spirit have against us? What we are like or what we do? What does the Lord want to change at KCBC to put things right? That's a process of repentance, turning around, recognizing things, turning around, and going the other way. Is there anything that displeases the Lord? That's a hard question. Church is nice, isn't it? Church is full of nice people. You all look nice this morning. You're all well-dressed. You've all combed your hair before you came out, I think. And we're nice. We get together and we have nice cups of tea and coffee together because we're nice, we're at church. Underneath that is all sorts of debris, which we'll never show anyone. But as a church, if there's something as a church that's not pleasing to the Lord, we need to discern it. We need to understand it. We need to be not frightened of it so that we have to keep pretending. We need to be real with each other and say, the Lord has put his finger on something. And it's something which is collective, something which is for the whole church. And we need to be able to confidently then come before the Lord, turn around, and go his way. So that's for our good. All right. To those who overcome. So what is going to, what does the Lord have for us? What are our hopes for KCBC? Where are we going with this particular area you're looking at? What steps can we take to help us achieve this purpose, the particular purpose that is our one that we signed up for? And what do we need to do to overcome any current challenges? How do we step forward? What is the way ahead for us? This isn't necessarily something that's going badly wrong. This is more a vision of the new things that God has for us and ahead for us. And then we finally go to the promises of Jesus. The Holy Spirit said to the churches in the book of Revelation, to the one who is victorious, I will give. And there was a promise for each one, a promise from God. Go in this track, get this right. This is what I long to give you and bless you with. You're going to need to go the right way. But when you do, when you're victorious, when you overcome, I will give you. Well, what are the promises of Jesus for us at this time? We will need to hear that. There are lots of promises in the Bible. Which ones are particularly relevant to us? What promises can we hang on to as a church? And what promises do we seek to be fulfilled here in the next 5 to 10 years? That's not necessarily a strategy question. Just what are those promises of God? Really wants to see embedded. We really think God has for us to embed it in this church. Where's he leading us? So, don't worry about filling anything in at the moment. Just want your name in a box. That's all. New year, everything else will be revealed. I'll give you the feedback things to write your ideas in to help you through that. And as we go along, remind and explain to you a little more about how to listen to what God is saying. So we'll do it on our own, and then later on we'll do it collectively as a whole fellowship. So, a task now at Advent, season of repentance, we turn our hearts again to God. We say, Lord, we are here I am, your servant. I'm listening. I'm listening to you on all the aspects of our church life. Want to be a church moving in God's purposes, good and healthy in God's sight, pleasing to him and walking into his promises. So, which one will you choose? Which of those purposes is the one you're going to go for? And the task up to then is to lay aside all your own views and your strong views on what's good in your own eyes and be ready to listen to the Lord. It takes time, which is why we're going to give it time. But it is a godly task. I remind you again, it's a godly task. It's a spiritual task. We come to God and ask for his help in that as we approach it. We're going to sing.